everyone, and welcome to Minute 67 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Duncan Shields, who has so many different things we can call him. You know, nice things, not bad things. You know, he's an animator, he's an artist, he's a poet, he's an author, and he's also the host of a number of different minute-by-minute shows. Maybe you have the Time Bandits Minute, you have Chronologically Speaking, and you have Animatronic. Yeah. Sorry about that. So welcome back to the show, Duncan.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're able to come back because, you know, we're stranded here in the middle of southern Illinois, 102 miles from Chicago, you know, and we have nothing better to do but just, you know, sit around the bonfire and stay warm in the middle of November, even though in real life it wasn't that cold on November 25th, 1987. Or there was no snow. There was no snow.
When they filmed the scene, there was
no snow. Not when they filmed it. I'm talking about when the scene takes place. The scene takes place the day before Thanksgiving. And there was no snow in any of the cities that are depicted in this movie. Not in Chicago, not in New York, not in Wichita, not in St. Louis. Nothing.
New York.
Yeah, I think a few months ago we talked about what the weather was. I think it was like 40 degrees or something like that, maybe. And it was like overcast or something like that. But they got some of the other predictions right, so we'll give it to them. Yeah. So minute 67 begins with Neil shouting out in anger and ends with Del turning to say something to Neil.
Yeah.
So yesterday we basically had an entire minute where we talked about Neil yelling at Del and not understanding how his credit card somehow got into his wallet, even though we know what really happened, which I love when movies do that. When they let the audience in on little secrets of things that happen and the characters have no clue and they just make wrong assumptions. And we're laughing at the fact that they're making the wrong assumption. I mean, obviously it's not something that you would have expected them to notice. It was, you know, a slight mistake by Gus. That's all it came down to. And neither one of them looked at their credit cards. I can imagine something like that even happening today. You know, you're in the supermarket you know,
it happened to me a couple of years ago. I was at a pub downtown and I wanted to settle up my bill and the server brought me my card and the machine, because I'd left my card behind the bar to run a tab. And she brought me my card back and my card said Ronald Wong or something on it. And I was like,
You look like a Ronald Wong.
This is not my card. And but it was the same bank. Right. So it looked exactly the same.
Ah, wow. Okay.
And so I was like, this isn't mine. And she's like, oh, well, he left. And I'm like, okay. So what do we do here? Did you give him mine? And I think she still had mine behind the bar, but I think I found Ronald Wong on Facebook and I was like, hey, if you were at the Canby yesterday, I have your bank card. He's like, oh, that's okay. I'll just cut it up. I'll cancel it and get a new one.
No. Oh,
okay. So I was like, we can meet up and I can give it to you. He's like, no, don't. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm like, all right, whatever. So, if, you know, that kind of thing can happen. When
yeah, the cards it can look completely happen, similar. For sure. You know, I mean, nowadays things are because of security reasons, it's less likely to happen because, you know, at least I know here, most of the time you have to punch in your code when you're using your credit card in stores and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're punching in a code and it doesn't work, then you're going to eventually look at the card or something like that. But it still can happen, you know. It
still can happen. There wasn't too much danger of me like racking up a huge charge and going to Vegas or whatever, but I did want to get it back to him. But it all turned out good.
Especially when, you know, he said he didn't want his car back. Hey, great. I'll go rent a car.
Merry Christmas to me. Well, all right.
Exactly. So yesterday we ended the minute with Neil screaming, "You!" And we now get to hear the rest of the sentence. He goes, "You stole it." And then like he looks out into the sky and screams, "He stole it." Now, who is he telling this to? He's
my favorite part of the minute. Like, they're not standing in the middle of absolute nowhere. Like, there's an audience. Like, he's shouting it at the bushes and the two deers that are like he stole it.
he's telling it to the singing bush, you know?
Yeah.
Or the invisible horseman or something like that.
That's right.
You know, those are Three Amigos references for anyone who didn't catch those. You know, but yeah, it's just like, you know, there's no one else. He's like, I don't want to talk to Dell anymore. I'm just going to say it to anybody. And I mean, I'm sure you noticed this, but there are no cars going by them in these minutes. You see on the other side of the freeway that there are cars going the other direction, but there are no, we had last week, there was like one or two cars that drove by and that was it. Apparently nobody's going to Chicago. That's what it comes down to. Everyone's running away from Chicago.
It always struck me that this, I mean, I don't think this scene takes place at like 4 a.m, but it always struck me because of the lack of cars. It really struck
me
as later.
We'll get there. During this week, we'll actually know what time it is. So,
okay.
But
oh yeah, we will.
We will.
That's right.
But
that's right.
But at this point, it feels as if it's the middle of the night. Now, I've mentioned this numerous times. It's a 300-mile trip from St. Louis to Chicago, so it's a 5-hour trip. Okay, this 5-hour trip is taking them a lot longer than 5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
5.5 hours.
Right. And it's taken a lot longer because they left St. Louis and it was still daylight. And now it feels like it's the middle of the night. And it's not. You know, it's not as late. It's not even as late as you would think. But again, it's taking them longer than 5 hours to drive this, which, you know, makes you, I mean, again, they stretched it out for the comic aspects of the story, but still. You know, so
I've always wanted to go to Chicago. I've never been to Chicago.
Well, maybe Dell will go with you if you want.
Yeah. I remember I had an ex-girlfriend of mine. That was one of her go-to jokes was whenever you offered her food, she'd say, no, thanks. I'm kind of picky about what I eat. And it was
That's
always
great.
To her this little private joke of
that. Hey, send me
hot dog,
send me
slushy.
Send me her information. Maybe she'll want to be on the show.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So Dell responds, No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I was going to send it back to you with whatever the rental card charge was plus interest, but you didn't give me your address. What was I supposed to do? You just ditched me. I had no money. I had no cards. I had nothing. Now, the statement here, there are so many incorrections. There are so many things that are wrong in this little diatribe of what he says. Okay, first of all, now, how much do you think it would cost to rent a car in 1987? Any idea?
Oh man, $50.
Okay, I did a search, and again, I you know, I found an article. I found an article actually written by a guy named Peter Greenberg, that the article came out May 24th, 1987. Okay, he's a freelance writer, and he was, or is, I don't know, a freelance writer in Los Angeles. And he has an article called Singing the Rental Car Blues. And he explains about the fact of that he traveled to New York and all that happened when he was trying to rent a car. And so he said in New York, it cost almost $39 a day. And that was a cheap rate. Okay, that was a cheap rate for New York because if you read the whole article, so basically they wanted to charge him $52 a day, but he had booked it earlier and that was the rate that they gave him. So he adamantly made sure that he would still get the rate that he got on the phone. But he mentions in this article that the same car, if he were to rent it in LA, it would cost him $24 a day. And if you were rented in Chicago, it would be $20 a day. Okay. So I'm assuming that the price in St. Louis is similar to that in Chicago. So we're talking $20 here. You know, we're not really talking about a very, very expensive time to rent a car. And again, we know that Dell doesn't rent and doesn't take out any insurance or anything like that. So we're talking bare minimum, just $20. And, you know, so I found that interesting that, you know, that he mentions it. So he says, you know, I would send you the money with interest. So, okay, he's going to send him, $25. I mean, it's not like it's that much money. Even back in 1987, $25 wasn't considered that much, and Neil wouldn't necessarily need to have that $25, right? But then he says, "You didn't give me the address." Okay, now that wasn't when they were in St. Louis. That was earlier when they were getting on the train in Stubbsville, right?
Stubbs.
Stubbsville, right? Which is not a real place either. I believe it was called, the real place is called Newton, if I remember correctly, of
Oh, okay.
where the real people train is, instead of the hog train or cattle, as Owen mentioned a few months ago. So, okay, so that's it. So he said, "You didn't give me your address," but he didn't ask for it again. At least we didn't see. And then he says, "You just ditched me." Now, Dell was the one who got upset in the diner right before they were in the airport, and he got up and left Neil. It wasn't the opposite. So Dell was the one who ditched Neil. Again, Neil insulted him, so therefore he had a reason to leave. But he says, "You ditched me." And I had no money. He still had money because, he had the $100 that they were able to get from selling all the earrings. The well, not real
That's
earrings. The
right.
when they were selling the shower curtain rings as the earrings. So
The great
he did have
secrets.
money on him. So if we're talking $20, it shouldn't have been that difficult for him to just go rent it with the $20. He didn't. I mean, you might need a credit card as an insurance policy, as what's the term that they use for it, when you have to give them, when I don't
Pre-authorization,
know, there's something when you need, I can't remember the word right now. A
security
security deposit,
deposit.
right, which they don't charge you for or anything like that. But he
No, yeah, they just make sure you've got
yeah.
that
So
available.
I don't think that Dell really needed, he could have just taken $20. I'm assuming he still had $20 with all the cash that he had in his hand at the time. Even if it was, even if they split it 50-50, so each of them had $50 and then they pay for their meal, he's definitely got at least $30 left, I would think, at that point. And so and obviously he doesn't have any credit cards. We discussed this also earlier, the fact that it's very strange that even in the 1980s, people weren't trying to use credit cards to charge things. Nowadays, I mean, I rarely walk around with cash because I just use credit card for everything. And apparently then it was the complete opposite. I don't know.
Well, cash was Cash is, I mean, cash was king back then. Cash is still king now, I assume. But there was definitely less credit card use happening back then. Or guess less casual credit card use.
And then this is one of my favorite moments in the movie where the two of them are holding each other, or exactly where you just motioned it. You pantomimed it.
Yeah,
No one
sorry,
else can see
not
it.
very, not very
No,
good
no one else
radio
can
there.
see it.
Yeah, they're
They're
shaking
shaking back
back
and
and
forth as they talk, and they're doing it in tandem, which is great.
opposing shakes, like left and right, and
And then
then
they
right
have
and
this
left
whole
and
little discussion where Neil goes, "Give it back," and he goes, "I can't." "Why not?" "Because." And then like they stop with this moving around in tandem, and then he continues again. And he goes, "Because why?" And he goes, "Because when we stop to gas up, I put the card back in your wallet."
Yeah, it's a great in comedy there's a thing called rule of three where the third time is the joke. Right? You do something and then you do something else and then you do the third thing and that's the joke. So this is give it back. I can't. That's one. Shake, 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 shake. Why not? Because. And that's two. Shake, 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 shake. Because why? Because when we stop to gas up, I put the card back in your wallet and that's three. So then they do this slow pause, looking over at the burning car where Martin's wallet is burning merrily away, one might assume.
Completely. And I mean, it's great the way that they do this. I mean, it made me think about the fact that, okay, we didn't see them stop to fill up for gas at any point. But again, if it's a 300-mile trip, my assumption is that they're going to have to fill up along the way. I
At
don't
some point, yeah.
know how much gas this particular.
And I love the sound work here when they're shaking back and forth in between their conversations. Because I don't know if it's all if it's Foley work or if this was done in post or if this is the actual sounds of their clothes rustling. Because what's it? Steve Martin's got the sort of camel hair overcoat on, and then John Candy has the big puffy
Yes.
winter jacket. So you get a lot of zip zop, zip zop, zip zop. You know, as they rustle back and forth there. It's really
Yeah,
really good
no, it's
sound
great
work.
because you can hear it.
And
You can hear it
great
along the way,
physicality from the two of them.
right. So,
And you can see here how tall John Candy is. Like people forget he was a big guy, but he was
yes.
also a big guy. You know, like he's a pretty tall dude. Like I know that Steve Martin's not a tiny man. Yeah, I don't think he's super tall, but you can see here that yeah, John Candy's quite a bit taller
Right,
than
so the car
Steve
was
Martin.
originally the real car is called the Town and Country,
Yeah.
and what they called it here was the Grand Detroit Farm and Country.
No way. The Grand Detroit Farm and Country?
Yes.
How specific. Wow.
Yes. And at this point, Neil basically, at this point, he groans, and as you said, they look over at the car. And then Dell goes, "Are you mad at me?"
Yeah, because Martin collapses against Candy, so it's almost like all the fight's gone out of him, all the stress has gone out of him. He's just a broken man. And then
And I love that we
Candy,
hear like the once again, we hear like the metal fall to the ground,
yeah, clink.
from the car. We hear the crackling again of the car and stuff like that. And for him to at this point say, "Are you mad at me?" What else? What do you expect?
Yeah, it's such a great innocent line from John Candy. Are you mad at me? Like, yeah. And then that's when Steve Martin just winds up and then punches Candy in the stomach as hard as he can.
Right in the gut.
And then immediately
Exactly.
turns away and trips over the chest.
Yes, I love that. It's such an amazing physical comedy that he turns away and walks away and just like flips over the steamer trunk.
Incredible. And all this with the big sort of John Hughes music sting going on. It's
Yeah,
great. It's great stuff.
completely. Now, I was trying to figure out about car fires and like how long it would take for a car fire to burn out and stuff like that. Because they don't really, the next scene they show them already driving the car.
Yeah.
Okay, so they make it seem as if it doesn't take very long for this car for the flames to die down and for them to be able to sit in the car. It might still be warm, and we'll discuss that a little more,
Yeah, in the next minute for sure.
In the next minute and also partially in this minute, but the idea that this they didn't have cell phones, so they couldn't call an ambulance. They couldn't call a fire truck to
Yeah.
come in and put it out or anything like that. I it makes me wonder how this eventually burned out, because I would think that it would burn for hours. This isn't something that's just gonna burn. It's not gonna be a quick burn for just a few minutes and then
Yeah, well, I
dissipate.
guess maybe it depends on what we're, because I know that the gas itself burns quick and short, right? It goes it,
But it's not gas that's burning right now. It's
now yeah now
it's
it's the
the
actual
upholstery.
it's the upholstery and the plastic, so I would think it would burn for longer, but nothing like none of this makes sense.
Right. Okay,
You
that's
know,
true also. Again,
the
there
car
is the suspension
is
of disbelief here.
the car's never leaving the side of the highway. It's when
Right.
it burns like that, it's not just the seats that go up. It's like the electronics, it's the wiring, it's
Yeah.
like the car's dead. So this now we're into cartoon comedy action.
Which
Plus if it's
worked? Which worked?
which works great, it's so good, it's all gold. But you're like, there's no way this car is doing what it's doing. But on the other hand, I have seen cars sustain some freakish amount of damage and keep on going. So maybe it's just on the outside bounds of
It is a
appreciating.
farming country. Come
It is a farming country, and they
on.
built those ones, they're
They
famous.
don't build those like they used to.
Nope.
And no, I mean the one thing I found when trying to do research on how long it would take, I mean, it's not the simple thing to find on the internet how long does it take for a car to burn out, after it's on
Because
fire.
I think, and
But
if you Google that too often, I think you get put on a couple of watch lists
it's
for
possible. It's possible. No, that's if you look for methods of of burning a car, not how long will it burn for. And the one thing I did find was is that it can sometimes just take a few minutes for a fire to develop into an inferno once the car catches fire. Okay, meaning that
Scary.
it is realistic here, the fact that the car lit up very quickly. And I mean, in this article, one of the things that they mentioned is that if you don't have water on hand, you should throw like earth or sand onto it. And they said sometimes it's not a good idea to throw water on a car that's burning because it's going to actually, if you're doing if you're burning the gas, if you're putting water on the gas, that's not necessarily going to stop things. It's going to make it worse.
I'll just splash it around. It won't put it out.
So then the scene switches and we see a smoldering car driving into the El Rancho Motel. And there's a big sign outside that says El Rancho Motel, and it says free satellite TV, where the word satellite is misspelled. And then we have we try and then H. I don't know what they're trying to say. Maybe we try harder. I don't know. We try heroin. We try. I don't know.
We try hard, I imagine, and the joke is that they don't.
Exactly. And obviously, as we just mentioned before, this must be hours later, that the car is, first of all, still able to drive and that it no longer it has flames shooting out of it. And I love
Rattling
the sound
slightly.
here again. We also hear the car creaking along. And as Neil reaches the office, you hear like the car sputtering and stuff like that, as he's pulling in. It's just
It's good
great.
stuff.
Now they have the word office written there twice. In case you don't know where the office is, it's
Case you
written
don't
both in
know.
green and red, in different
Here, this
size.
is the
Yeah,
office.
exactly. Wait, where's the office? How can I find the office here? Not really sure.
Well, if you work in retail, you quickly become surprised at not the stupidity of the average customer, but the ignorance factor of the average customer of just like, wow, you really. And then you notice it in yourself, right? When you're going into stores and you notice to yourself, you're like, oh man, I missed that. And that's actually pretty obvious, but like when you're helping people and they're like, where's the, like there's that bit in the movie Clerks when somebody asks the video store guy, where's the new arrivals? And it pans out and they're standing in front of a giant wall that
Yeah,
says
new
new
arrivals.
arrivals, like,
That's Randall
you're
for
like,
you.
yeah, that's Randall for you. So you got to just say it's right over there. And, cause you it's there, but for the grace of God, go you, that's the way it is.
Correct. And then we see that Neil turns off the car, so he successfully turns the car off, and the lights are still working too because he turns those off also. And then Dell turns to Neil and says, you could have killed me, slugging me in the gut. And then that's how the minute ends.
So this hotel existed in Gurnee, Illinois, on 36355 Route 41, and apparently was renamed the River Trail Gardens and Inn a little later after this film, and it has since gone out of business or been turned into studio apartments. Nobody's really clear. Maybe you've got more information on the
No,
fate
I
of this
actually didn't.
hotel.
This is one of the things I decided not to check into, but I'm glad you did, because
There's a big giant metal bullhead that we see in the next minute, and that was still there for a long time, even after they changed the name of the hotel.
Well, I don't think that's something very simple to take down.
No, yeah, especially right. So at they so apparently they've it kept going for a while. It got dodgier and dodgier, and then now it's out of business.
Okay, makes sense. All right, thank you for that.
The occasional Planes, Trains, and Automobiles fan will drive past it and go, oh, I think this is the place, so it's not been like thoroughly researched, but that's like, so the jury's kind of out on whether or not it's still,
Right.
exists in any form.
Okay.
It's definitely, I don't think it's open for business anymore, but it'd be something to research. But that's the address, 36355 Route 41 in Gurnee, Illinois. So if you maybe Google Maps it, maybe you'll can see
Did you check to see how far Gurnee, Illinois is from Chicago?
I'm going to do that right now. We'll do it live.
No, because they were 102 miles away before. So is this place closer or further? Because remember, they're going the wrong way. They're traveling in the wrong direction.
They're going the wrong way.
How would they know where we're going?
They're going the wrong way.
How do they know where we're going?
Okay. Such a good. How would they know? Okay.
All right. Well, while you're checking that out, we'll go into a little bit of the script. So the script has a few little discrepancies here. So first of all, they talk about that both the interior and the roof of the car are completely burning very brightly. And then they get to this motel. And again, the whole conversation is very quick, just a few lines between the two of them. It's expanded here in the movie from what they have in the script, where basically he says, give it back. And he says, I can't, why not? And he says, when I stop for gas, I put it back in your wallet. And that's, he doesn't say, are you mad at me or anything like that. And we don't see him thugging him in the gut.
Ah, I see. Oh, I'm glad.
At this point, at this point, then.
Oh, at this
point. In the motel. Then it explains the motel. I love the way that they describe this motel. A exterior motel night. A chain motel, big bright sign. The charred car pulls up in front. All that remains of the roof is a twisted black frame. Neil's driving. He's wearing one of Dell's sports coats and a stocking cap. Okay. And then it says Dell's wearing his overcoat and a couple sweaters, earmuffs, and a black fake Angora hat. And then they have the an interior shot of the car. The interior is completely charred. They're sitting on bare, burned springs. And then Dell says, are you mad at me? And then Neil doesn't say a word. And then Dell starts saying, you know, you could have killed me, slugging me in the stomach when I wasn't ready. So they don't even mention the fact that he hits him. You know, it's mentioned in passing, but it doesn't happen in the script itself. So I like that they added it.
All right.
And so those are the few little discrepancies. Nothing big, you know, but still works well. It shows that, as you mentioned yesterday, there is improv here between the characters, which is great.
Yeah, which I would assume there would be.
Yeah. So you have any
North Scope?
You have an explanation for us?
Well, it is 40 minutes. It's actually in East Chicago.
Oh,
so it's about 40 minutes from the Chicago Center, but it is giving me a slightly different address here. 36355 North Skokie Highway.
Yeah, well, obviously it's meant to be somewhere else because I don't think they drove that far. You know, if they're 102 miles from Chicago by the sign, then I don't think.
Ah, wait a second here. Okay, now here we go. Let's see. I think I've got something else here. Chicago, Illinois. This is an hour away.
Ah, okay. But that's still a lot closer than they should be.
Yeah, and it's and you said they were coming from St. Louis? Right. So St. Louis, it's on the other side of Chicago from St. Louis.
Okay.
So it's definitely not on the way.
Okay, I mean we'll get there in a few weeks where we'll talk about the fact that they do overshoot Chicago, but they haven't overshot it yet. We're not there. Yeah. I think next week we talk about that where they overshoot it, but not at this point.
Yeah.
But what just dawned on me is, wait a second, if they're driving in the wrong direction and they're on their way towards St. Louis. Oh no. Sorry, they were driving the wrong direction in the right way. Meaning that they were going north, but they were driving southbound on the north side. So, okay, no, because I was going to say that maybe the sign shouldn't have said Chicago, but it should have. That's fine, because they turned around. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So apparently the El Rancho is a bit closer than it really should be. That's what it comes down to. All right. Yeah. So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little adventure or misadventure of something that happened to us along the journey of life. So, Duncan, what have you got for us?
This time I would like to talk about one time when I was younger, I went to a small town called Kelowna, which is about 4 hours outside of Vancouver, where I live. And to drive there, you go up a newly created highway called the Coquihalla. It used to be a lot of winding mountain roads, but they made a big, long highway that went sort of straight across BC. So you didn't have to go through all the winding mountain roads anymore. So it's much better for traffic. And they had a toll on it for a while, until they reached the cost, and then they took the toll off. Amazingly, they promised they would, and they did. Once the highway was paid for, so I was driving in a friend's car. She was driving. She had borrowed her father's vintage MG, like a 1968 MG, with a shocking amount of legroom. She pulled up in this little tiny car, and I'm like, I'm going to spend 4 hours in that. And then I got in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my feet actually don't touch the bottom. This is amazing. It's just like it can stretch out in this minuscule car. So that's MGs have got a lot of legroom. So we're driving up there, and it was Friday the 13th. So, and it was a full moon. So we're driving
and
up.
And you met Jason and a werewolf.
And I met Jason and a werewolf. Mr. Hey. Werewolf to his friends. And she forgot to put oil in the car. This is like I think the year we graduated from high school. So we're quite young and we don't know much about cars, apparently. So we're driving up there, and unbeknownst to us, the car ran out of oil and started smoking and would not go anywhere and stopped. What we didn't know at the time was that we had seized the engine block and it had cracked down the middle. That the lack of oil had actually destroyed the engine. So we couldn't go anywhere. At the time, we were smokers, but the only cigarettes that we had were ultralights, Players ultralights, which are like barely cigarettes in the first place. And then we had a giant personal stereo in the back, what would have been called a ghetto blaster back in the day, one of those big radio Rahim giant, and they, 20D energizers in the back, and but we didn't have any batteries for it. So it was Friday the 13th and a full moon. We're on a highway in a car that won't go anywhere, with cigarettes that aren't really cigarettes, with a stereo and a bunch of great tapes, but no way to listen to the music. And it was one of those moments of like, huh, so what do we do now? And just as we were starting to tell each other like our life stories or whatever, it was kind of like, well, who knows what's going to happen now? A tow truck came by, and it was called, I think, Bob and Tom's Towing. And I think what he did was he would just cruise up and down the Coquihalla looking for people exactly in our situation. And he was like, hey, what's up? We'll take you to Merritt, BC. This is a small town on the way to Kelowna. And so it was Bob and Tom's Towing. Bob was driving. We got into town and we met Tom. We literally met Bob and Tom, Bob and Tom's Towing. And then we got a motel room and got the news that her car was toast, and so her dad drove up in the minivan.
Oh, wow.
And drove
us the rest of the week. It wasn't, at least he didn't say tell him large Mark sent you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, great story. Thank you very much. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. I'll tell them how they can get in touch with
when you're stranded in the middle of Corona, BC.
Go to Trotologically Speaking and the Time Bandits Minute, or look for me on YouTube, or go to By Duncan Shields on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere else. And You'll find evidence of my existence. Or go to any of your famous, your regular bookstores and buy my collection of short science fiction called Small Windows. If you like a little a group of like 96 short science fiction stories, download that and give yourself a
And you can also find Duncan all week at the El Rancho Motel.
That's right.
At least for the next day or two,
for sure.
Yeah. Actually, for the whole week, we're here the rest of the week. I'm stuck here with you also. We're both going to be at the El Rancho till at least Friday, maybe even Monday. Actually, we're still here Monday. We're here on Monday too.
Excellent.
Well, I'm here. You. I think you're going to leave beforehand. That's what I think. Yeah, probably.
I think so. Let me check it out early.
And to find me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook, or you can find my website. So until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine.